This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Live and Learn. I'm Chua Entik. My guest today is Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman Rajiv Rishakaran, back for his monthly show on local council and government. We're going to be discussing a phenomenon that has gained some traction recently, which is this movement to reduce or ban entirely single-use plastic straws. Rajiv, welcome.
Hi, it's good to be back.
So, I guess this is a... Our phone lines are open, by the way. You can call us at 0377-332-9900 or WhatsApp us at 018-989-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio if you'd like to contribute to this discussion. So, Rajiv,
yes,
it seems like this is the new lightning rod issue in terms of the environment. What are your views on this, on single-use plastic straws?
Well, I think it's more than just straws. Straws is definitely one of the common single-use plastics in our lives. But it's not just straws. It's plastic bags, it's wrappers, and just about everything. So when the plastics play a huge part in our lives, it's and we can probably categorize it into two kinds, the multiple-use plastics. So the headphones that you have, the watch that you're wearing on your hand, probably, you know, part of your clothes has plastics on it. Those are multiple-use plastics. And then we have plastics that we only use once and then dispose of it. So, like straws. Most of the straws that we use at restaurants, the Marmark shop, and so on, we don't wash and keep it and use it again. So, that makes it a single-use plastic. So, we do have a problem with plastics in Malaysia. We do have a problem with how plastics affect the environment. And I think it's good that... the government is trying to do something about it. And I think it's also interesting and good to see that the various different state governments in Malaysia are racing and competing among themselves to see who can be the most progressive in doing something about it. And I think one of the low-hanging fruits is plastic straws, because it's so common. We use them nearly every day. We may even use them... we may use multiple of them in a day, breakfast, lunch, dinner. If you're always eating out and you're always drinking cold drinks, yeah, you'll probably have a few plastic straws a day. So it's something that we can do away with. We have alternatives. And
Are you in favor of a ban from a slango perspective, since you are racing with other state governments as well?
Personally, I'm not in favor of a ban yet. I think these are things that we take in steps. I respect KL's position to go for a ban, but I think we can probably take it step by step, because we are dealing with a wide segment of society, and different people have different conscious levels when it comes to things like this. So creating the awareness and the education is very important. Ultimately, we should come to a point where we phase out using this single-use plastic straws. That's the ultimate goal. But I probably wouldn't want to rush into setting a deadline yet. And I wouldn't want to rush to do it like so soon, because I think it's important that people understand why, and people understand the importance of doing it, as well as we phase in the change of lifestyle. Because for someone who's been using this for 30, 40 years, and you know, suddenly you take it away without educating and preparing the alternatives, it might be too much of a shock. So we want to manage it, but we also want to be moving. We don't want to just say that we'll do it one day and not have a deadline. So I think the federal government is coming up with the roadmap between now and 2030, the various phases and steps, and straws are just one of the various components. I think that's a very good plan. I think DBKL is racing ahead to go ahead with the first place to ban it. I think that's good for them to try, and we can all learn from how it goes on their end. I know there are a lot of people who have reservations against this, and as well as this a healthy amount of people that are so happy that, you know, government is finally moving. So we live in a very mixed society.
It sounds like the same counter arguments or reservations that people had about the plastic bag ban are resurfacing with this, that there are other important issues, that there are costs involved in using the alternative for businesses as well as price of goods. And so without the government or some form of policy setting the agenda, will we ever get to a point where everyone is ready, so to speak, rather than...
Yes, we will. Because They always have a starting point. You should have a roadmap to get to the finish point. And we have announced that the roadmap will come up next month. So it's just about 3-4 weeks away, and we'll have that roadmap. And we are committed to getting there. But the question of not just doing everything overnight, I think that's also taking things sensibly, not going to the other extreme of suddenly getting an idea before everyone understands what and why we're doing such a thing. We suddenly just uproot entire businesses, industries, jobs, people, and their lives. So we don't want to go to that extreme. But we want to be serious about tackling this. And so by next month, a roadmap will be out. But I think what's maybe just as important is to take one step back and ask why. Why do the plastic bag thing? Why do the straw thing? Why bother with plastics? Are plastics bad? Are they not so bad? I think this is probably the first level of awareness that needs to go out there. If you've been on WhatsApp, you're bound to have received forwarded videos, or if you're on Facebook, you're bound to have seen this, how the ocean life has been affected by plastics, marine life has been affected by plastics. And
it affects us as well, right?
It affects us.
The fishes ingest these plastics,
exactly.
And we eat the fishes.
So you've got on one hand a problem that, you know, scuba diving isn't as fun as it used to be because you see as much plastic as you see fish. But on a very serious note, that affects the most of us who don't go scuba diving is you eat fish. And you eat other kinds of seafood, and this seafood are eating plastics. And they may not be eating the whole chunk of a 1.5-liter Coca-Cola bottle, but they may be eating smaller bits and pieces of plastics, and that plastics do not get digested because plastics don't get digested in your belly. And when you eat the fish, you are eating that plastic.
Right.
So it's going to affect us. It's going to affect tourism because a lot of our tourist spots, if they get filled up by plastic, tourism is going to be on a decline. You know, a lot of tourists come to Malaysia to go scuba diving. And we don't want to lose that. A lot of tourists come to Malaysia for the beaches, and we don't want to lose that. It's not just the beaches, it's also the rivers, the lakes, and so on. If these tourist places are filled with plastics, our tourist industry, which is big, they're going to take a big hit because, you know, it's not fun to go on holidays in places like this. Why this happens? Because somehow, some reason, a lot of these plastics just end up in the environment, not in dustbins and not in landfills, but it just gets littered. And from the side of the road, it washes down into a drain, and from a drain into a river, and ultimately the sea. That's where a lot of our plastics end up. There was a study, numbers released by KPKT, that about less than 20% of plastic bags end up in the landfill. So more than 80% of them end up in the environment. This could be in your neighborhood padang, stuck there. It could be in a lake. It could be in the sea. But based on the number of plastic bags that were sold and the number of plastic bags that end up in the landfill with their study, less than 20% of the plastic bags end up in the landfill. So, you know, you may be a responsible person, but by and large, we live in a country like this that, you know, somehow a lot of these plastics end up in nature.
Yeah. So what's the solution there?
So I think the solution is not so straightforward because for different plastics, it's not a one item thing. It's not just plastic bags. We've got so many different kinds of plastic usage, and I think different products have different solutions or different options. So it's quite a complicated thing. So, you know, if we started off today talking about straws, there are alternatives to plastic straws. Number one, just don't use a straw. Just drink straight from the cup. We do that at home a lot. That's one option. You got metal straws, glass straws, reusable plastic straws, the thicker types. All of these are washable. So there are options out there. These options may be a bit pricey compared to a single-use plastic straw, but it's because you're expected to use them again and again. And as more and more people buy these things, prices will definitely come down.
Yeah. You know, all these things that you mentioned makes a lot of sense, but when push comes to shove, you are at the shopping mall or you are at the grocery store and you bought a lot of grocery, more than you thought you would buy, and then you forgot to bring your reusable bag and you need to use the plastic bag, we would still go for it because it's convenient. So Were there lessons learned from the way you roll out the plastic bags?
Oh, definitely.
And how you would maybe incorporate this into the roadmap? Is this a roadmap on plastics or a larger waste management
plastics
issue?
So this would be a roadmap on single-use plastics. But yes, there were a lot of lessons from the plastic bag. That was the first product we ever tried to tackle in the name of the environment. When Slango did plastic bags first, we did it only on Saturdays. And we cultivated the habit that on Saturdays, no plastic bags. And got people used to it, but without taking it out totally. And we gave them a good 2-3 years before we started talking about doing it every day. And when we did it every day, we also provided a lot of reusable shopping bags. You know, there were various programs everywhere distributing lots of free reusable shopping bags that people use till today. I mean, I still see people using bags that were given away by the government. People are using bags they buy their own. Yes, it's true. You know, the transition may take some time because we build up habits all our lives and we take time to switch habits. And you'll take time to remember to bring your shopping bag out. And I admit, I myself have forgotten to bring my shopping bag out. Now I keep like 5 to 10 bags in my car. So even if I forget to take it back from the house back to the car, there's, you know, rolling stock out there to help me. And I think we will get a hang of it. From 3, 4, 5 years ago till today, I rarely forget these days. I used to forget a lot in the beginning, and now I forget. I hardly ever forget. And I think that's how we cultivate ourselves. We do it again and again, and we built up habits, good habits, bad habits. Likewise, we built it. I mean, most people won't forget to take their keys to when they leave the house. They don't forget to take their wallet. We rarely forget to take our phones. You know, we can learn, even though, you know, a lot of us didn't use phones for the first half of our lives. And today, we don't forget to take our phones out. Likewise, you know, eventually we won't forget to take the shopping bags out. So that was the shopping bags. So I think that gradual implementation is something that we learn from. We don't do it suddenly, as well as the education and awareness. We should have done more with the plastic bags, judging by how some people were caught unaware and how some questions were left unanswered, like do Pasar Malam stalls have to also stop giving plastic bags or not? Where does the 20 cents go? You know, there were so many questions that we thought wouldn't be a big deal, but turned out to be a bigger deal than we expected. And we learned lessons from that. So I think when it comes to the other single-use plastics, we would be more prepared. And that's why I think we shouldn't rush into the straws. Mm-hmm. I think we should go in phases. And maybe how McDonald's is doing it is a good way to face it. I think that's something we can learn from, where the straws are still there. It's just that they're telling you, we're not going to put it out there ready for you. You need to ask for it. Putting one barrier between you and your straw, hopefully making you a bit guilty or a bit more conscious of what you're asking for. But nonetheless, if you need it, they'll still give it to you. So I think by default, drinks should come without straws. For a start. So this is not just limited to McDonald's, although, you know, it's a very good approach they took. They didn't ban it, they didn't charge 20 cents for it, but rather they just decided that, you know, we'll take it away. You can't just quietly get one, you have to ask for it. So maybe this is something that can be replicated by all restaurants, even stalls. The small little warungs and the gerais could also do the same. You know, we'll sell you the drink by default without the straw, and if you need one for this, maybe the first phase, then only we'll give you one when you ask for it. And then maybe the second phase is maybe it could be a 10 cent surcharge for a straw, or maybe we could just say no straws altogether. So this is the stage where we would like to get feedback from the public. Tell us how you think we should do it. I think we should incorporate a lot of feedback before we embark on a policy change that is this big, that affects nearly everyone out there. And I think there's enough conversation that has started without the policy being firmed up and pushed out there on people. So I think Slango is in that prime position where, you know, this is the best time to give feedback, and so that Slango has as much feedback as it gets before it makes an announcement.
Yeah, tell us indeed. Our phone lines are open if you have a feedback or a solution or a question about any possible ban on plastic straws, you can call us at 03-7733-2900 or WhatsApp us at 018-999-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Let's take a short break. We'll come back and continue our discussion on plastic straws as well as how we can better manage our plastic waste. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. You're listening to Live and Learn. I'm Chua Entik. Rajiv Vishakaran, the Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman, is here with me to discuss plastic straws and how we can better manage plastic waste in general. Before we left off, I advertised our WhatsApp lines are open, but I made a mistake. It's supposed to be 018-789-8899. Our lines are open too, if you'd like to call in. It's 03-7733-2900. Or you can also reach us from Twitter at BFM Radio. We have a WhatsApp message question that came in via Kevin, who wants to ask whether local businesses, have they been given a directive to completely remove single-use plastics like instant noodle packaging and box drinks with their attached tiny straws? He identified himself as a strong supporter of a no plastic world. Rajiv, local councils or from the state government level?
Not yet. As mentioned earlier, the roadmap is being worked out and should be ready to be announced by next month. So these are some of the things that we are aware of. The tiny straws that comes with, you know, drinks are definitely a question that needs to be addressed and how we're going to do it. And that's why a roadmap is really important, to give the industry time to adjust and time to prepare alternatives to face the policy change. So no directives as of now. But what we're doing now is we're getting a lot of feedback to formulate these decisions, these policies and these timelines. And so people are giving feedback like how much time they need to adapt and how much time they need for packet drinks and mineral water bottles. Because these things actually should you know, we should find a way to wind them down.
Right.
I'm not saying we don't serve water in functions or events, but, you know, how do we do it? Is there better ways than to, you know, to generate 10,000 plastic bottles at a concert? So these are the things that are being worked out. And this is the best time. You know, if you have feedback, ideas, suggestions, we never know when, you know, your idea may spark a further idea. You know, just throw out your ideas to us if you have it so that we can get there.
I suppose a directive like that would have to come from the federal level. But in terms of local councils, what can they do to, if they want to, I guess, take this forward, this initiative forward?
Well, I think it's good that we let all local councils latch on to the roadmap that the Ministry of Energy and Environment is working out. But what they can do is, first of all, is in-house. So everything to do with the local authority should reflect the desires, the policy that we want to get to. So, you know, local government, local authorities, in fact, all government departments have tons of events throughout the year, meetings, engagements, dialogues, functions, and how we conduct ourselves in these events is crucial to show the world that, you know, it can be done. So how we serve food at meetings, how we serve drinks, how we serve gift bags and whatnot should reflect that policy that we are pushing for. So it shouldn't be a rule that says that, you know, all restaurants stop using straws, but you come to a government function and there they are, hundreds of straws. So that won't be right. So I think lead by example. I would like to encourage all local governments, including us here in MPPJ, that, you know, to lead by example.
We have a caller from Jane who has a question about, cup lids or lids on paper cups. Hello, Jane.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, ask your question.
Yeah, I have a suggestion. I may have seen this in the States or something. I'm not sure whether they implement it. You know, banning straws is a great idea, but if the authorities can get McDonald's and all the fast food, etc., to have a lid that is drinkable, you know, like the spout, with a little spout that sticks out, so you can put your mouth in it and drink without using straws. I think that's it, you know? We don't need straws, yeah. Just change the lid design, that's all.
All right,
Jane, thank you.
I hope there's some industry players out there listening to this so you can get a head start on this idea. But yes, I think these are the things that are bound to creep up as we look for alternatives. That's why having manageable timelines is important, so that you know the industry has time to explore alternatives like this, to get creative and have time to go through R&D and production.
Okay, thank you, Jane, for that suggestion. So another feedback came in via WhatsApp from this listener who didn't provide his name, but he said that he recently went to Japan and it seems like they don't care about zero plastic, because what happens is they give up plastics for his convenience, and but still they remain so clean and there's no rubbish anywhere to be seen. So he thinks that the problem is our attitude towards littering in Malaysia. You alluded to this before we went to the break as well, that some 80% of the plastic that
more
we use
more than 80%
does
of
not
the
go
plastic
into
bags
the landfill.
That we use and end up in the landfill. You know?
Yeah, why is that? Are we not punishing people who litter? Is enforcement not strong enough on that?
Yes, I think that is one of the aspects of it. It's also the culture, the mentality. And it's not just Malaysians. We also are a country with about 4 to 6 million foreign workers as well. So it's a wide variety of combination of reasons why we are at that state. But it's important to realize that we are at that place where, for some reason, a lot of our trash does not end up in bins. Whatever trash that ends up in bins will safely end up in landfills. That part, we are relatively confident. But the problem is a lot of trash, just for some reason, even here, you know, in KL, in PJ, in the middle of affluent areas, it's still a problem. So yes, I think this listener is right, that we do have a mentality challenge here. Why is it that we can't just hold on to our ways a little longer and put them in the trash bin? Why are a lot of Malaysians part of the problem, not part of the solution? But I think
this falls within the ambits of local councils, isn't
it? Does,
because
it does.
Waste collection is
waste
from
collection
their budget.
Littering is under the purview of local councils. But, you know, realizing that, I think we have to do something, because Malaysia is a big plastic polluter. We contribute a lot of plastic into the ocean, and I think, you know, we should eat. There are a lot of things that we follow the world, and I think this is one area where we can lead the world. There are not many countries that are talking about the same way that we are in the last few months about single-use plastics. And we could be the one of the leading countries in the world that has this paradigm change that is, you know, making us more environmentally friendly.
Right. One thing that we are leading in some sense is we are taking in a lot, or rather we're importing a lot of plastic waste of other countries. So was it yesterday or the day before that a New Zealand publication was reporting that up to 40 plastic recycling factories are running illegally in Malaysia at the moment because of how much plastic waste we are importing from other countries. Why does this happen from a local council perspective? Because are they the one who gives out a license for these factories to be operating?
Okay, I don't have first-hand information. Most of this is happening in Kuala Langat, under the Majlis Daerah Kuala Langat. But there is a challenge here. A lot of these plastics have come in because we have hundreds of APs to import plastics that have been issued by the previous administration. These have all been suspended now. So new plastics will not be coming in the country now. We've already suspended these APs. But, you know, hundreds of tons of plastics have already made their way into the country in the first half of this year. And these plastics are being processed. And this is largely due to China stopping these plastics from coming into China to be processed. Now, if there's a recycling factory that is operating properly, and that means the emissions are under control and the process is done properly, then that'd be okay. That'd be good for the economy. But the problem is a lot of these people are doing the shortcut ways that really pollute the water and pollute the air. A lot of smoke is emitted, and a lot of dirty water is discharged, and that affects the rivers. So it's not cool at all. And the authorities, I understand, have been going down and taking action. But, you know, there's a lot of cat and mouse game going on with this illegal factory. And today you close them here, then tomorrow they spring up somewhere else, and then you close them there, then they spring up somewhere else. We really must step up our game. Majlis Daerah Kuala Langat must step up its game to clamp down on these factories. But it's not just them. I think every other council should be on standby, because if one council gets pretty good at clamping down on them, they're going to move next door or to the next state. So if, you know, if Selangor gets really good at clamping on them, they might go down to Negeri Sembilan. So it's a cat and mouse game, because there's just so much of this waste material that is within the boundaries of Malaysia today, that, you know, you clamp them down one place, they go to another. We need to be strict in tackling this, and recognize that they are also legal plants that are processing properly, that meet the emission controls set by the Department of Environment, and these are fine. These should be able to continue, but it's these fly-by-night factories that have to be dealt with.
If it's done legally and by the book, is this an industry that Selangor that wants to pursue?
I think of all the industries that are out there, I think this is something that we're not that keen on to go and initiate something at this stage. I think there's a lot of sensitivity towards this, a lot of skepticism as to whether the authorities can properly regulate this business. So I think the best thing is that we don't dive so quickly into it. And especially in Selangor, we've already set a few major trusts in developing industries to advance the economy in Selangor, such as the aerospace industry and so on.
Right. Speaking of not keen off, we have a message from Keen Goh, who wanted to respond to Jane's suggestion about changing the lids, that there is a study showing new lids at Starbucks in the US with no straw use sage actually uses more plastics than straws. So Jane, if you're hearing this and you'd like to respond, let's keep this WhatsApp debate going on. Maybe get you to respond to that study. Yeah.
But maybe Jane was referring towards a lid that is reusable. So if it's a single plastic, single-use lid, then we're back to square one, you know, from straw to lids. But the bottom line is, we want to move away from single-use plastic, because this will just we'll just generate millions and millions of pieces of this every day. The amount of straws that are used throughout the country every day, the amount of plastic lids, if you change from straws to plastic lids. So the whole idea is, you know, we don't want to be disposing of plastic. We want to minimize how much of plastic we dispose every day.
Yeah, we have another feedback that came via WhatsApp from Sue, who said that she saw a parent stopping the child from picking up trash that accidentally fell out of the child's hand, and she felt very sad that while the school have done their part to teach good values in the children in children to throw trash where it belongs into the bin, but adults are reversing whatever good work that schools have done. So she thought it's very tragic that she saw the child looking very confused that the dad insisted he not pick up trash from the street. This comes back, I suppose, to the culture,
the
values,
mentality
that we want to have.
Indeed, very sad. I feel sorry for this kid. He probably is confused with conflicting instructions from his teacher and his parent.
So, living inside culture, I suppose, is plastic waste and collection a priority for Selangor? Is it under the state purview,
so,
or is it
federal? You know, rubbish collection is rubbish collection. It is under local council purview. They collect all trash that is put into trash bins. So it's no different. But the thing is, when you throw, let's say, a piece of paper in the environment, it biodegrades. But when you throw a piece of plastic into the environment, it does not. And that's the difference between different types of trash. So by and large, we should not be throwing any trash around. We shouldn't be littering. But there's different consequences when you throw away, say, a piece of paper litter, a receipt, as compared to, say, you throw away a plastic bottle. There's a different impact on the environment. I'm not condoning throwing paper litter anywhere. You should throw all your trash into the bin. But, you know, food degrades fast. Paper degrades faster than plastic, not as fast as food, and so on. So that's why there's a difference. And because plastic, you know, it's estimated that it will last for 1,000 years. But, you know, science is, we have not caught up. We will not know actually how long more it'll take, but it seems that it'll take a very, very long time to biodegrade, unlike a lot of other materials. So that's why a special focus is on plastic. But, you know, trash collection as a whole, yes, it's a local council prerogative.
So DBKL has this requirement for residents to separate their waste, and there are some pilot projects in PJ as well. How is this coming along?
I'm not too sure about how is it coming along in DBKL. In Slango, in PJ, sorry, in particular, we have started in a few areas, and I'm already in discussions with KDEB, which has taken over the waste collection in PJ. Kumpulan Darul Ihsan Berhad, it's a state-owned company that has taken over the waste management, on how we can expand this to more sections, or in fact, closing up to all sections, and hopefully we can do it by the end of next year. So we'll have to get there. So that's good, you know. That's what we need to minimize waste going to landfill and to recycle what we can. But the challenge goes beyond that, because you know, if we talk about what numbers we know, like the single use plastic bags, you know, they're not ending up in the trash bin. So this goes beyond asking people to separate your trash. This is a problem of people not even throwing away their trash properly. So it extends beyond the problem of asking people to recycle.
Do we know how long this pilot would go on? Would there be a report or a study?
I wouldn't say it's a pilot. It's just expanding in phases because we want to engage people. A blanket rule can be done overnight, but with very little effectiveness, because if everyone does not come on board, you could just tell everyone, okay, starting tomorrow, segregate your trash. And if you just do that and leave it at that, hardly anyone will segregate their trash. That's what we have seen in KL.
We have another feedback via WhatsApp asking, why can't PJ have a glass recycling centre as we are cutting down plastic?
All right, I'm not too sure what you mean by that, but MBPJ has a recycling centre at Taman Jaya. You can bring all recyclable items, including glass, metal, paper, whatnot, plastics, to MBPJ centre. And if you're part of the areas that MBPJ is collecting segregated waste from, put your glass as part of the recyclables and it's collected. So I'm not sure if we have a factory that processes them in PJ, and I don't think that's quite necessary, as long as we have glass recycling factories somewhere in Malaysia. I think that's adequate. It doesn't have to be within PJ itself. I think that's industry driven. But in terms of collection, that's not a problem. It can be collected today.
Because there's no separation requirement, when we put all the stuff together, say we don't recycle, for example, would it be separated somewhere along the line by the waste collection companies?
Yes. We've just seen many cases of that where the foreign workers collecting the waste would park the lorry at somewhere between the taman that they are in charge of and the landfill, and they rifle through the waste looking for these items that they can sell and earn some extra pocket money.
Right, it's market driven.
To some extent, yes, it is.
Another feedback via WhatsApp, a listener who disagreed with having the straw ban being rolled out slowly because he believes the very act of a drastic immediate ban will automatically create consciousness behind this ban. What do you think about that?
Yeah, like I said in the beginning of the show, I think we have a very diverse spectrum of people out there, and people who just want everything done right now because we've been waiting for progressive moves like this for years, and there are people who are resisting. I think if you walk within a 10-minute radius of the studio, I think you'll find, even in affluent TDDI, many people that would resist the straw ban. So I think it's a balance. The government has to cater to all Malaysians. And you know what? To the listener who sent the text in, you know, I hope you can start with yourself. You know, refuse a straw every time you order a drink in a shop. And if a lot of listeners out there start to do it, you help promote the consciousness and you help make things move along a bit faster.
Do we know how much plastic pollution costs this local councils or state governments?
I don't know if we measure that in the sense of ringgit and cents, but it definitely causes us the environment. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the statistics now is about there's one piece of plastic for every 5 fish in the ocean, and that's bound to increase. And we don't want to come to a point where there are more plastic than fish in the ocean.
There's this stat that by 2050, if we proceed with this current trend, that there will be more fish than plastic. More plastic than fish.
Yeah.
Measured by weight. Yeah.
Yeah. That would be a tragedy.
Yeah. So I guess something that's related to this discussion is Chin, who is asking, via WhatsApp whether there are dedicated places where we can recycle our gadgets and electronic items.
There are quite a number of shopping malls that pick this up. I think you can do a simple Google search to find one that is near your place. But yes, we need to step it up. We need to create more.
Yeah. How do we ascertain whether or not these operations are illegal or legal?
Wow, I think that's quite a tough burden of to put on any regular consumer. I think let the Department of Environment regulate that. Generally, because all recycling processes need to be regulated by the Department of Environment, so they have their means to check on how it's done and that it's properly done. But for a consumer, I think it's you've done your part. You've done your part to segregate and to send them to a proper recycling bin. And I would salute anyone who does it. And we are still quite a long way from getting a good compliance rate, you know, among Malaysians who would segregate. But I think just as important as you want to get that group of Malaysians to increase the amount of Malaysians who would recycle, who separate their waste, I think we really need to work on also ending people who don't put the rubbish in the bins.
Right. So how can we do that better?
Well, education, awareness, civic consciousness is really important because, you know, you have 30 million Malaysians and we're not all centred in a very dense island like Singapore. So it's very hard for enforcement to be chasing after everyone in every little street, taman, you know, corner of the country. We must step up enforcement. I would expect enforcement to do more in the coming years to catch litter bugs. But I know that, you know, even if every single policeman is tasked with catching litter bugs, and then they should be doing things which are far more important than catching litter bugs. But even if every policeman is tasked with catching people who litter, it will still be a tall order if we are just playing cat and mouse with Malaysians. If we don't create consciousness that, you know, we should not be doing this, even though there's no one watching, we should not be littering. It's going to be a tall order. So we need a lot of ambassadors. It cannot be a few politicians talking about it. It cannot be a few ministers talking about it. It cannot be a few people talking about it. We need a lot of ambassadors. We need every radio presenter to talk about it. That'd be really helpful. We need lots of people to just talk about it in their offices, in their schools and whatnot. And that's the only way that culture can grow. But for now, sad to say, we do have a little bit of what a deficiency in this weather, that we simply are littering too much and a lot of our plastic waste is ending up in the oceans, in the rivers, yeah, and in the environment.
Yeah, maybe we need more stick than carrot in our approach.
Yeah, yeah.
So I suppose we have to leave it at there, and until when the roadmap is produced, we can discuss further on how this policy
maybe
would
we'll get back here when the roadmap is out and we'll discuss the roadmap. But I think as the roadmap is being formed up right now, it'd be great that, you know, those listeners out there, if you have ideas, email, text your local assemblyman, your local member of parliament, email and text me if you want to. Really happy to compile and listen to all the ideas that you have. Because a lot of this feedback gives us a lot of new ideas in finally formulating the policies that will come.
If you live in the Bukit Gasing constituency, yes, please write to Rajiv's office. But if not, you could write to BFM at biggerpicture@bfm.my. Tell us anything that concerns you about your local government or local councils and what they are or are not doing. And we will try to talk about it and discuss it and see how we can address it. And so thank you for all the callers and listeners who send in their feedback via WhatsApp. No Twitter today, but that's okay, I suppose. Thank you for listening. Until next month, Rajiv. Thank
all right,
you again
we'll see
for
you again
coming.
Next month.
You've been listening to Live and Learn, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.